Welcome to Sacred Leadership. I am Sigrid Tasias, leadership coach, author, medicine woman, and entrepreneur. And you found the podcast where conscious leaders discuss and explore topics around modern business, ancient wisdom and spirituality, personal development, and success strategies to help you bring more depth to your leadership and create the life and business of your dreams while serving humanity and the earth. Today's guest is a man with a wealth of knowledge that I asked to come and share some of his experience and his wisdom around flow with us. I'm super excited about this conversation, you guys, and super excited to introduce you to Oren Harris, who is a transformation coach, speaker, and pioneer on the leading edge of human consciousness. His primary mission in life is creating heaven on earth, a place where people wake up to their true selves and live a limitless life of contribution and fulfillment. Oren is one of the world's leading experts on flow, the highly sought after peak performance state of consciousness known for its inherent ease, power, grace, and next level performance. He helps leaders, high performers, entrepreneurs, and creatives awaken their infinite potential and have a profound impact on the planet through the full expression of their soul's gifts. And in this episode, we go all in with all things flow, understanding, first of all, what is flow? How do we know that we are tuning into that space of flow? How does it feel when we are there, and how can we be more intentional with the practice of being in flow within our lives, within our relationships, within our businesses, and also understanding the ways in which we may be blocking or resisting that state of flow. We also speak on all the little misconceptions that people have in regards to flow being something that takes you away from action or commitment, and actually understanding flow as something that can be inducive or helpful to be in a space of higher performance and more productivity that can bring in more results and more success to our lives and businesses as well. We went super deep in all the spiritual aspects of flow and what takes us away from flow. So understanding the ego, the I, the mind, the attachment, and the identification with who we think we are and how we think that needs to look so that we can understand how to start getting out of our own way. And different practices, both mental and physical, that we can start introducing into our lives to create more space for the flow to flow through us. So we went deep in many different aspects that I feel are super important, super interesting, and for those of you that put this into practice and really take it in, I really believe you're gonna see a lot of benefits and changes in your life. It is a long journey, this one, of keep bringing back to flow, but we really dove into many different aspects of this subject and how to apply it or how to bring more of it into our lives and get a lot of benefits thanks to doing so. So I'm super excited to be sharing this conversation with you guys. Super juicy, deep, interesting one. So keep on listening as we dive right into it. Oren, thank you so much for making the time to be here in the show and share with my listeners. I'm very excited to have you in Sacred Leadership.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Such a pleasure. I really want to speak all things flow with you today.
Yes.
And I remember the last conversation we had gave me some insights on how you live your life, how you work and create. And I'd love to hear more about this topic from you. So to get started, what is flow?
That's the billion-dollar question, right? It's the holy grail. It's the, in one way or another, it's something that we people have consciously and unconsciously been seeking, right? And a lot of times when we talk about flow, we're talking about the experience that we have in the flow. And so, like, you know, it's those moments or those days or those weeks where we're just really in tune with life. We're in the right place at the right time, connected to the right people. Our intentions mm-hmm. are manifesting effortlessly. We feel a sense of ease in our body and our nervous system. Our mind is clear. We're performing at our best. Our body is in optimal health. You know, there's the more supernatural aspects of the flow where miracles are happening, magic is happening, synchronicity, perfect timing. So that's the experience. These are the things we experience in flow, but the simplicity of what flow is just a state of interconnectivity with all of life and really with our true self, the self that exists beyond the defined self, the personality, ego structure, whatever we want to call that, whether we say it's our higher self or the infinite or spirit or God. Anytime we are really in alignment with that, then our consciousness expands and more of our resources that are always accessible to us, our extended resources, come into play. And that's why it can seem so much more magical and so much more powerful, because we're accessing more of our infinite self rather than just the finite self.
Yes. Yes, I love that. And what I'm thinking is, I know, or I believe most people have had an experience of flow like you describe it. However, I can imagine a lot of people don't know why. Right. They may have one of those weeks, but it hasn't been intentional. It's just one of those weeks. It's like, crazy. I was just thinking about this and it happened and this is coming. Everything's flowing. But what can we do to start intentionally bringing in this flow into our lives?
Yeah, you know, that's a simple question and it's a big question. I think that, you know, first understanding what the flow is and what it isn't, maybe not first, but the just having a foundational understanding can then set us up to be empowered in being able to cultivate, you know, or consciously practice anything that's going to allow us to be in the flow more. And so I want to start there because, you know, if we believe that we are the flow is, I'll just go all the way down the rabbit hole on this one. The flow, yes. We're not separate from the flow, right? Just like we're not separate from God. I think there's a fair amount of people that can agree that, you know, God, the infinite, from our finite identity perspective, is much more intelligent, much more powerful, much greater than us. But then there's also the knowing that we're also not separate from God and we're made in the image and likeness of God. So it's the same thing with the flow. We're not actually separate from the flow. So it's important to know if we're trying to experience the flow more often or in more areas of our life or be able to deliberately tap into this rather than it be, you know, more sporadic or accidental or hardly ever happening, we got to understand that we're not actually accomplishing the flow. We're not gaining or losing. It's like a radio station. Good analogy. If you tune into a radio station, let's say 95.6, maybe it's playing Spanish music, and then you tune over to 106.5 and it's playing classical music. When you tune from one station to the other station doesn't actually disappear, right? Mm-hmm. And so we can tune into the flow, we can tune out of the flow. We can allow the flow, we can block the flow. We can go with the flow, we can go against the flow, but we're not actually accomplishing or gaining or losing the flow. And that's just a way of saying that we're not separate from the flow. So that being said, one of the other things that is difficult about consciously tapping into the flow, and really this stems from understanding what the flow is that somehow, some way, deliberately or accidentally, by our wisdom or by an act of grace, or this stars lined up properly, we've gotten ourself out of the way. And by self, I mean the finite personality, ego structure of self, the story of self. We've gotten ourselves out of the way. And one of the reasons why the flow is so mysterious and perhaps can be difficult to tap into is because the self doesn't want to disappear. Does that make sense? Like the ego self, and I don't say ego in a negative way, but the ego has its own agendas. It's in protection often. And so it doesn't want to take the back seat. But that is what's happening. when we're having these flow experiences is somehow, some way we've managed to get ourselves out of the way, whether it's because it was an emergency situation, we had a flash of inspiration, we had a spontaneous awakening, we've gotten ourselves out of the way, but the self doesn't want to get out of the way. So if we're pursuing a life of flow and practices and cultivating more flow, we just have to understand that it's kind of counterintuitive in a way, or it may be uncomfortable because the self and all of the power and value that we put in, you know, in our ego structure has to not be captaining the ship. And I realized I haven't given you a list of practices, but I really felt like that's a great place to start, to just understand that, you know, there's no I in flow, right? And so some of the things that we then start practicing, things like surrender, things like allowing, you know, on a spiritual level, may not be that comfortable, right? And so we can approach this from a level of the mind, a level of the emotions, a level of energy or spirit, and a level of the body. On the level of the body, you know, there's certain things that we can do with our physicality, like dancing or, you know, any type of body practices that get us out of our mind and into our hearts, that are going to increase the possibility of us tuning into flow. You know, on a mental level, you know, we start looking into our belief structures and what we believe about ourselves and about the flow, because certain beliefs are conducive to flow and other beliefs are not. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I mean, there's no simple answer to this, but I just wanted to set a framework so we can further explore. And so like flow hacking, for example, which is becoming more and more popular in like biohacking and high performance arenas, you know, high performing entrepreneurs and athletes are really becoming interested in the flow from a, like more of like a hacker perspective. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're, you know, the understanding of, you know, neurology and physiology and our biology and how to, you know, manipulate our physical form such that we can trigger or activate flow states. And that's just a small piece of the puzzle. So my experience with flow is more of a kind of unified theory of flow, approaching it from all angles, right? And so I would put into, you know, if we look at the mind now, if we notice that when we are in flow, there's little to no thinking. And in particular, the part of the critic part of our mind, you know, the committee in our head that's always judging and comparing and all these different things, somehow we've sort of turned that part of our brain off, which that in and of itself releases a tremendous amount of resistance and allows our consciousness to expand. So yeah, where would you like to go from there? Because we could dive into any one of these avenues of experiencing more flow, but I just wanted to set a framework of looking at it on a mental, physical, spiritual, or emotional level.
Yes, I would love to know more, definitely, especially in the physical level. I had not heard about that. I know that we can trigger certain emotions and kind of, yeah, I don't love the word manipulate, but for lack of a better word, manipulate our emotional state through changing our physiology. But I had never heard this in regards to hacking the flow, like really getting into the flow through that. So tell me more about that.
You know, to be honest, that's the area I'm least knowledgeable in. I feel like it's like training wheels. It's like flow 101. It's not the most powerful aspect. I think that, you know, if you can manipulate your physiology or, you know, somehow turn all that off, that part of your brain through the physical, then, you know, more power to you. You know, I start becoming more interested when we start moving into meditation as an example, right? Because in meditation, we start to withdraw our attention from the incessant stream of thoughts that are constantly running through our head. And more importantly, the thoughts that we are identifying with and empowering and giving energy. And when we do that, then we release resistance and we also release the the sort of the stories that we have about ourselves and about the world, which is significantly impacting whether or not we're experiencing flow. And so meditation is like a vacation in that way. It's a vacation from the self. That's what's happening when we're in flow, is that we're taking a kind of mini vacation from ourself. Or you could say we're tapping temporarily into an illumination of our true self, right? And so if we start to, you know, just look at this as a kind of consciousness explorer or scientist, and one of the first things that I did early on when I was more of a flow hacker, I realized that, you know, anytime I was in flow, I wasn't really thinking much. So then I just logically concluded that, well, if somehow I can think less, then I'll probably be in the flow more, you know, think less and feel more. And one of my first practices was for that was meditation. And I did start experiencing more flow, because that allows our consciousness to expand and expand beyond the parameters of our identity, which is largely probably subconscious, you know, how we define ourselves, who we hold ourselves to be, the beliefs that we hold inside the self. And so I think just looking overall again at the hacking into the flow, somehow, like if we look at it on a more of a temporary basis, which I think flow hacking is more temporary, then it's
more like the quick fix.
Yeah, it's like the quick fix. It's like, okay, how can I intentionally get myself out of my own way? You know what I mean?
But right? it's still the M. It's still the I that it's doing it.
It's still the I. You know, another example of getting yourself out of the way. You know, and we'll move the conversation deeper here in a second. But it's like extreme sports. Mm-hmm. Extreme sports athletes experience flow probably more than most of the average humans. But that's because they're in emergency situations, and if they're thinking too much, they'll die. So they have to be present. They don't have the luxury to be trying to process too many things on a mental level, because they're in danger. If they're going down the side of a mountain snowboarding in nature that's somewhat unpredictable, it forces them into the present moment.
Right? That's super interesting. And what's coming through for me right now with these, it's that probably isn't a long lasting thing for them. They might be in flow while exercising, but as soon as they stop exercising, they would be back into their identity, the self, the limited reality. Well, if you do, like you said, meditation, you are building this or flexing this muscle that allows you to be long-term in the flow state. Am I right with this?
Yeah, that's spot on. And this is also another reason why people get addicted even to extreme sports or adrenaline junkies, or, you know, even there could be addiction to plant medicines or to drugs, because it's allowing someone to temporarily bypass this part of their brain and access deeper dimensions of their consciousness. But if they become reliant on that, then to use the extreme sports example again, yeah, a lot of those guys, when they go back to their normal life, they don't know how to cultivate that same state because they're not going down the side of a mountain. You know what I mean? And so in their relationships and their business and their, you know, and their health, maybe they don't access flow as much. But, you know, if we just kind of look at the common denominators in these different areas, like extreme sports or emergencies or falling in love or divine inspiration, or then we can start to see what is the common thread in all of these experiences. And it goes back to the I, you know? So I think that to fast forward a little bit, if we're going to move from flow hacking to flow mastery, then you can't avoid the spiritual, for lack of a better word, part of the conversation, because really what's happening in flow, it's kind of a mini illumination. It is an awakening. You are awakening, or you're touching into who you are as consciousness, right? And so if anybody wanted to experience flow more consistently, and this is how I'm loosely defining mastery, obviously mastery is infinite, but if anybody wanted to experience flow on a more consistent basis and in every area of their life and be able to access the flow more on demand, then the conversation of awakening really comes into play. Yeah. Right. And then if you're going to approach that like a scientist, then now you have to look at then what are the quote unquote, steps to awakening. Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel like that's probably one of the more misunderstood parts of the equation. And maybe the blueprint and the steps are not as clear once you start entering that realm.
Definitely.
Versus on a physical level or even on a mind level, which the mind can be very complex, but, you know, at least, you know, belief systems and belief structures and how they impact your reality and your decisions and stuff. It's quite easy to understand and grasp and get really proficient at. But yeah, that's where the rabbit hole really opens up is when we start moving into awakening and realizing in a more permanent sense who we really are.
Yes.
Beyond our name or beyond our form, beyond our definition, beyond our identity, beyond what we do, you know.
Definitely. And it takes a whole lot of commitment to yes. do this work. It really does.
It does. And a lot of it, like I was saying earlier, especially when you are moving deeper into it, a lot of it can be uncomfortable because take surrender, for example. I just wrote about this on Instagram and I was saying that surrender is power, right? It's powerful. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is that even though surrender is powerful, which surrender is really just letting go of control, it's not letting go of our goals, desires, or things that are important to us. As of yet, most of humanity doesn't actually surrender unless they're forced to,
mm-hmm.
unless some urgent life situation or, you know, they bang their head against the wall enough times, can't figure something out or some illness or it's just, yes. that's usually when most people let go of control. So if you really want to take this flow thing to a mastery level, then you got to ask yourself the question, or not even the question, but just be willing to consciously choose to do things that might be uncomfortable, like mm-hmm. let go of control, like, really face off with your fears, like really be with your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and fall in love with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes such a difference. I was just reflecting on this a couple of days ago, like years ago, when I first started working with plant medicine. And at the time, I quit everything I had and I just committed to my healing path and to really learn from those teachers and all that. And back then, I was in such a state of flow. I was in full trust, full surrender. If I had like a download in a meditation, go to this other continent, I would literally just mm-hmm. take a plane and go. I was in this flow. Now it is a practice that I have to almost watch and make sure that I am making it a part of my practice, because I feel the more we create, let's say, with our name, with our face, having a brand, having a business, having a podcast, mm-hmm. having a book, any of these things, the easier it is for the ego to get attached to that identity and what we think exactly. it means, what we think we need to do in order to keep up with that identity. So it's very interesting how the more we almost claim our power in so many ways and feel empowered to share our gifts and do, you know, put creations and offerings out there, the trickier it gets also to be in that state of surrender. So it's a fun process to be constantly watching. I mean, like, okay, can I still show up and create all these things while I'm also letting go of all of them and just creating totally. For the sake of creation?
Totally. That sums it up right there. So whether you're a speaker and a coach and a spiritual teacher like myself, or you're an artist or an entertainer, I mean, that's what it is. It's like when we're in our natural state and, you know, in this state of innocence, in a sense, and we're playing for play's sake, then all of our power is accessible to us. But then once we start to put the word on it and say, oh, I am a speaker, I am a thought leader. And then we have, I mean, what happens is, you know, I'll just use an example of somebody who's funny, right? Let's just say you're naturally funny and you're not a comedian, you're just naturally funny. And then your friends, what if your friends start saying, you know, you go to a party and be like, oh, hey, Oren, tell them that joke. You're funny. Be funny, right? So then there might be a little bit more pressure. But let's just say you pass that test and you're like, okay, you can be funny when people are like, oh, tell them the joke. But then let's say you go, oh, wow, people really think I'm funny. I really have something here. I know, I'll be a comedian. So then you say, I am a comedian. So now you define yourself again. And then you are sharing your definition with the world. And you're looking to get agreement with the world. So let's say you start go practicing at comedy clubs. And, you know, the first few times out, you really crush it. And people are like, wow, you're an amazing comedian. They're not just saying you're funny. They're saying you're an amazing comedian. So then you're like, oh, wow, I'll get an Instagram account and I'll build a brand and do some marketing. And then now, let's say you have, you go from having thousands of fans to hundreds of thousands. Mm-hmm. Now you have all these projections coming at you from what people are expecting from you. And it's not like you're just, you know, I'll be funny or I'll not be funny. You're like, wow, my audience expects me to be funny. This is my identity. Yeah. And that's what happens is then you're like, so now there's the potential pressure of living up to that rather than just the pure love of the art. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I guess one, you know, the question might be, how do you stay in that purity? How do you stay a true artist? How do you stay in that, you know, state of just truly being in service to the energy that's moving through you, truly being serviced and sharing your gifts? How do you stay in that? I guess that's one of the questions, especially, you know, if we're speaking to entrepreneurs and creators and people are doing amazing things out there in the world.
Yes.
For me, with, you know, I do many things, one of which is speaking. I speak around the world about many things, flow being probably the most common thing. And one of the things that helped me early on is that I never set out to be a speaker in the first place. And I really had a revelation the first time I spoke and I got a standing ovation and I wasn't even planning to be a speaker. And in fact, I thought, you know, this speaking thing's probably not for me, is I realized from near the beginning, really, that what was moving people was not me in a sense, right? It wasn't so much what I was saying. It's that I was willing to get on stage and share my heart and my soul and be vulnerable and be authentic and just speak the truth of the moment as purely and as clearly as it is coming through me. And I realized that that's what was moving people more than the content of what I was saying. And so when I said, I am a speaker, which I did, and then I decided to start creating a, you know, a brand and positioning myself and doing all these things to create more opportunities to speak, especially in the beginning, I just kept reminding myself that what I'm most interested in, what my truest intention is to be of service. And I have ideas about how to be of highest service. I have, you know, knowledge. I have the wisdom of my experience, but I don't really know for sure what's going to be of highest service. And so what I was most interested in is what is going to be of highest service. And so I surrendered myself, which is what we're talking about, the identity. I surrendered myself from the get-go to the intelligence inside me. And so I had, you know, then as I moved on throughout the years and I was speaking, yeah, I utilized my willpower and my intention and moved into all these things. But I did my best to maintain the humility of, you know what, Spirit, I don't know. I just want to be used in the highest way possible. And so I consciously got myself out of the way. I consciously, with my own free will and the power of my word and my intention, gave myself, devoted myself really to what would be of highest service. And I didn't claim to know, and I still don't. And so I've been speaking now for 10 years. And if most of my preparation, and I don't really prepare these days, in the beginning was not about trying to be a good speaker, because I realized that wasn't my goal.
Yes.
And So if I was preparing, I was always preparing to consciously figure out how to get myself out of the way. So I would meditate. I would, you know, appreciate. I would do things that are fun. I would get into a space of emptiness. And I just started to trust that I could just step on stage and be present and trust life and trust the moment and trust that what wants to come through will come through. But I devoted myself to that. And then I started having such a positive reinforcement of that is then what wound up being the quote unquote best thing. And then when the accolades were coming, you know, amazing speaker, I did my best. And I didn't always ace this, but I did my best to not attach to anyone's criticism or their praise.
Super
and just
important.
Stay a beating spirit.
Yes, yes, not always easy. It's a big practice. I love these, and I love also how you described earlier flow as you kind of said it was related to peak performance. And I know you describe flow as a highly sought after peak performance state of consciousness. And
yes,
just as you were speaking, I was thinking, I know that some people, myself in the past included, may relate living in flow with not really getting much done, not having success or opportunities. Back in the day, during my days of corporate, I could have assured that living in flow was about floating around, never committing to anything or anyone, not taking action. So luckily, my perspective is different now. But tell us, how can living in a state of flow benefit our performance in life and business?
Yeah, and I'd be happy to also speak to that. Because in my earlier stages of my exploration, I experienced what seemed to be a downside of living in flow when it came to productivity and business. But then I later, as I kept going deeper down the rabbit hole and into the exploration, I come to realize that it's not that being in the flow equaled a lack of productivity. If anything, flow has been proven to be a state of hyper productivity and optimal efficiency, because you have so much more creative power, so much more genius, so much more intelligence, such a broader perspective at your disposal that absolutely empowers your performance exponentially. I think that, you know, and I would love to speak to anybody that might argue that, including me at one point in time, because I think that there is some kind of bad representations of flow.
Yes.
Where people are like, go with the flow. Yeah.
I can't make plans. I'm just going with the flow.
I'm just going with the flow, you know? And it's like, that's not really the flow. Now, here's the thing. If somebody's in a state of allowing and not making any plans and not committing, then yes, to a certain degree, they're going to have released enough resistance probably to experience some flow. However, because we're here in this form, this human form, and we're here as creators, there are things that want to be created through us. And you know, a lot of people that are more like flow-y also have a resistance to commitment, a resistance to planning, a resistance to structure, and resistance is resistance. And so resistance is the anti-flow. Whether you resist, you know, you're on the far right and you're like, you're so in the grind and so rigid and so inflexible that maybe consciously or subconsciously you're resisting being lazy. You're resisting being floaty, being one of those floaty people. That's resistant. But if you're on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, then maybe what you're resisting is you're like, well, I don't want to be one of those super rigid, lifeless, controlling people. So then you're resisting. But here's the thing. Structure, planning, time, and focus do not obstruct flow. What obstructs flow is the consciousness that you are in, the level of consciousness that you're in, the state of being that you're in when you're in time and structure and planning. that's what can be rigid. It's not the structure itself. It's not the time itself. It's the consciousness in which it's created. And so I can break that down a little bit further. It's like, yeah. if we have a business, we're business partners, and actually I'll give you a real example. I just thought of. So I live in this gorgeous home with my beloved, and we created this in the flow, right? But there was a lot of details and action that went into it as well. And so on one particular day when we were house hunting, you know, we were, I was in New York and she was in California, and we had a short amount of time before our lease was up in our apartment. And so, you know, we're factoring in time, right? Respecting time. Like, okay, we have a short amount of time. We need to start looking. And then we decided to get on a Zoom call to discuss the house and, you know, options and so forth. But I could feel that. I'm just trying to show like how you start to unite flow and structure here, right? So she said to me one day, you know, we really need to get on a call because we're running out of time. And I said, well, when do you want to get on a call? She said, how about Friday? And I think it was Wednesday. And I said, because that's a structure now, right? And that structure is based upon the perception of time. It's like, okay, we don't have a lot of time. You know, we have past knowledge that says, you know, this is going to take some time. And so therefore it's important. And I said, well, I don't feel like we should meet on Friday. And she's like, well, but we're running out of time. And I said, yeah, but are we deciding to structure the meeting on Friday out of inspiration and intuition? Or is it coming from the feeling that we're running out of time, which is coming from the perception and the belief that we're running out of time? Mm-hmm. And this is a powerful distinction here. And she said, oh, it is actually coming a little bit from fear that we're running out of time. And I said, exactly. So let's don't meet on Friday. Right. And so I'm just using that as an example. If that's not clear, I'll break it down further. I'm using that as an example to say how we're utilizing structure and commitment and intentionality to book a date in the calendar for us to proceed with our actions, but then still tuning into the flow to see, okay, timing wise, is Friday the day to meet? Because the consciousness that was in that decision was one of fear that we're running out of time, or you could say lack. It wasn't actually inspiration. So that's a projection of the mind. I said a lot there. Did that make sense?
Yes, it did make sense. And I'm wondering, just for people listening that might be new to this practice of flow, how can we then differentiate and know when to follow through with the structure or when to allow the space, regardless of what our conscious mind is saying? Just bringing it back to the productivity and to knowing how to use flow for peak performance.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it comes down to building your understanding and your awareness of certain things. So for example, knowing what it looks like in your mind and what it feels like in your body when it's intuition or spirit speaking versus the mind. That type of discernment is really key in being able to make decisions throughout your day, and also to be able to, you know, understand or be in more perfect timing or divine timing. Yeah. And so, for me in that moment, when we were talking about scheduling, when I thought about scheduling on Friday, which would be the decision to implement the structure, I felt my energy drop. Right. But the feeling of, sorry, my dog's barking. The feeling of my energy dropping, that is something that I deliberately, consciously cultivated a sensitivity to. And then I understood what it means when my energy is dropping versus lighting up, or when I feel like my energy is contracting versus expanding. And so that's the more subtle awareness, I would say, is the, so that you can feel into your body, you know, you can feel into your energy body. You can look in your mind. This is where it starts to become more apparent, is if you slow down, if you're about to make a decision in your business connected to performance, if you're able to slow down and feel into your body and even witness your mind, then in your mind, if you're saying, well, I need to do this now because dot, 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 then you might be able to see, oh, wow, that's just an idea that's coming from fear. It's coming from lack. And in that case, then you have the power to choose whether or not you want to act on that idea because you realize where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more subtle when you move from the mind and being able to witness your thoughts to maybe feeling your emotional body or your energy body, right?
Yeah.
But these are all places that I guess the flow is trying to speak to you. The higher intelligence in you is trying to speak to you. And it just requires being aware. And then to be aware, you might need to slow down.
Mm.
And if you really want to put this into a kind of step-by-step practice, then, you know, take the time to feel, not just think, but feel into the decisions that you're making so that you can start to feel where they're coming from. Because when we speak something, you know, or when something's in alignment, it feels a certain way, is really what I'm saying. You know, and even our body responds differently to things that are in alignment with spirit, which means that it's in alignment with the broader intelligence inside of us. It feels a certain way in our body. And I'm describing that feeling as expansive, as more, you know, elevating rather than contracting. And so to me, if I feel my body or my emotional body or energy body contracting, then I'll take pause and tune in and even witness my mind and see what is it that I'm believing right now or thinking about this situation that's causing my energy to contract.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. I think that's huge. And what I see is a thread in every single little bit and piece that we've touched in within this topic is slow down, witness yourself, slow down. And I love what you said at the beginning, just really slowing down so that we can go at the pace or the speed of wisdom, which is super important. Yes. Thank you so much. I feel like people will get a lot from this conversation on how to get started. And I am personally listening to you and going, okay, how can I place more of these or remind myself to go back into that space of embracing the flow even more into my life? So thank you. And there's two more questions I want to ask you, Warren.
First, I wanted to say one other very simple thing that I don't think about that often. But this is probably key for, you know, somebody who's maybe beginning in this. I don't think about it that often, but you know, if we take the significant areas of our life being our career and relationships and family, or career and relationships being the top two, if you're in a career, a job, or relationship that is not actually in alignment with your authentic self, if it was born from, you know, some false idea, then no amount of these practices is really going to get you much momentum, because you don't want the main areas of your life to be weights or a constant source of, you know, the anti-flow. So I just assume that because most of the people I work with are following their passion or their purpose. And that is one of the most basic keys to flow, is that you're in a relationship or a career, or pursuing a relationship or a career based upon the authenticity of who you are and being in alignment. Otherwise, you're not going to experience much flow.
That's huge. Yes, definitely. Thank you for sharing that. And I think it's a very important key for people that are indeed not yet in that space. And the two questions I wanted to ask you first is, where can people find you, and in what ways can people work with you currently?
Sure. The easiest way to find me is my website, which is orinharris.com. That's orinharris.com.
I'll leave it in the show notes as well.
Yeah. And on Instagram, I'm at Orin Harris, and as well as Facebook. Those are the three consistent platforms that I'm on. Mm-hmm. And that's at Orin Harris. And as far as working with me, the simplest way to work with me, there's different levels. As a coach, I work with leaders and high performers, like I mentioned, across different industries. And, you know, that's something that they can just inquire via my website. Mm-hmm. But I also have the O Academy, which is my membership platform, and it has a lot of exclusive content. I've poured a lot of my heart and soul into that. And that's a very low cost, high yield, high value way to interact with me is my membership site. You know, other than that, I'm giving, you know, free content on my Instagram. I do a lot of live streams on Facebook and on Instagram. So those are the main ways to work with me.
Awesome. Thank you. And last question. I always say last but not least, what makes leadership sacred?
What makes leadership sacred to me is love. Mm. You know, and I of all the things that I help leaders with, one of the most significant and most foundational things is becoming a love leader, right? Because when we devote ourselves and prioritize love and, you know, acceptance and accepting all parts of ourselves, then, you know, as a leader and someone who's, whether you're training or uplifting people in whatever capacity, mm-hmm. the more you are tuned into love and allowing the love that you are and beholding someone else in that space, the space of love, to whatever degree we are tapped into it or are allowing it, can remind people of who they are and can open them up to their infinite potential. Mm-hmm. And so I that's what makes leadership sacred, because it, and from a place of love, that's when we truly, truly are seeing someone for who they are. And also in that same space, seeing that we're not separate from them. Mm. And that intimacy, that union, that connection, that recognition, and just acknowledgement of someone's being is, I think, the most sacred thing. And it translates powerfully in leadership in many ways.
Mm. I love that. I love that answer. Thank you, Aaron, for this and all the other things that you've shared with us. Thank you for taking the time to be in the show and share your wisdom and your expertise. And I'm very excited to be sharing this episode with my listeners. I'm going to leave all the links and all the things in the show notes so that everyone can find you. And again, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it. I really appreciate you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you loved it, please be sure to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. I truly appreciate your support and contribution. And I've got a special invitation for those of you listening that are conscious female entrepreneurs wanting to take your leadership and business to the next level and feel secure in your ability to do that. Your gifts are needed now more than ever. You can choose to sit and be a spectator, or choose to stand more powerfully than ever in your leadership. Starting April 20th, I will be leading an intimate group of women through a four-month journey to access their infinite potential as leaders and grow their income and impact with more confidence than ever. Getting out of the old paradigm in business and all of the fear and scarcity stories these times are bringing up for many. Getting in the real game through focusing on business, both from a technical, strategic perspective and from one that takes in consideration the emotional, energetic, and mental aspects that need to be in alignment in order to truly succeed in a way that feels clear, aligned, and empowered. Within this container, you get to be fully supported, stretched, and held accountable by me, the sisters in the community, and the powerful guest mentors and healers that are some of today's world's most influential leaders. Being in our space for 4 months creates nothing but infinite possibilities. So make sure to head to my website, www.sigridtassius.com/infinite leadership. I will put this link in the show notes for you guys, and apply today for a discovery call to see if this is the right program for you.